Read and hear more about important news and policy issues at ncpolicywatch.com. This is News and Views.
Welcome to News and Views. I'm your host, Rob Schofield. After years of gridlock, North Carolina finally has a new state budget. And while the new budget includes a number of things that were absolutely necessary to keep the state moving forward, including modest teacher and state employee raises and new funding to expand broadband and repair crumbling infrastructure, a lot of experts and advocates say it still comes up well short. One such individual is State Representative Greg Meyer of Orange and Caswell counties, and recently I caught up with Meyer to learn more about his concerns with the budget, as well as some of the other late-year legislation moving forward at the General Assembly, and the ongoing challenge to public health posed by misinformation about COVID-19 vaccines.
Well, Representative Greg Meyer, welcome back to News and Views. Good to have you back with us.
Great to be with you, Rob.
As we get into the holiday season, the North Carolina General Assembly is still in session, remarkably enough. This is pretty unusual. Looks like y'all might adjourn sometime in the coming weeks, but it's been quite a year that you've pretty much been in session off and on all throughout 2021.
Yeah, my summer intern just touched base with me when she was home for Thanksgiving from the University of Georgia. And when I told her we were still in session, she was like, oh my gosh, you warned me this might be true. I was like, yeah, well, here we are.
Amazing.
And, you know, not a lot to show for it. There hasn't been much significant legislation that has been done after July 1st. Obviously, we can talk about the budget. We certainly got one major piece of energy legislation through. This is all stuff that we could have done in the first half of the year if we had an efficient legislature.
Yeah, the obvious question, the budget finally got done. I guess that's ultimately been the precipitant to getting the session somewhere near a close. But obviously, and I think you're one of the people that saw a lot of problems with this budget, although the governor said the good outweighed the bad, there was an awful lot of troubling stuff in there.
The budget was a mixture of good and bad. There's some phenomenal stuff in the budget. There's an amazing amount of funding for mental health resources that we've been clamoring for years and that people really need. There certainly are state employees and teachers out there who wanted a raise at any level. Although when the raise amounts came out, every teacher that reached out to me, I asked them, how do you think I should vote on the budget? Said, vote against it because it's just not good enough. And I did vote against the budget, largely on education terms. You know, I got into the legislature to fight for public education. And given where we are with the Leandro Constitutional Court case and a mandate from the courts to fully fund our schools, and then the failure in this budget, when we have more money than we've ever had before, the failure to fully fund our schools, I just couldn't vote for it.
Yeah, that is a remarkable situation. There is a very coherent, well thought out, judicially approved plan for finally making our schools constitutional in North Carolina, or at least getting close to it, under the 25-year-old Leandro lawsuit. The judge has approved a plan for moving us forward over the next decade to fully fund our schools. And part of that plan called for spending some significant dollars, not break the bank dollars, but significant dollars this year and next year. But this budget, despite having billions in the bank, the legislative leadership of the Republican Party opted not to go that way. What do you think is their reasoning behind not living up to the judge's order and not funding our schools as they should be?
Well, it's clear what their priorities are. The plan to fully fund our schools would cost us about $5 billion a year. I was hoping we'd see about $2 billion of that in this budget and we'd work up to the $5 billion. But that plan's not in this budget. You know what is in this budget? A plan to cut corporate taxes and other taxes. It's going to cost us $8 billion a year. So clearly the priority in the budget is to cut taxes by $8 billion, but not to fund the schools for $5 billion. We're in a strong economy. North Carolina's in a great fiscal position. You know, people need money in their pockets, but nobody gets money in their pockets without education. So the priorities of the budget, I think, you know, reflect the Republican legislative priorities have been for the last decade. I regret that so many people vote for them and put them in office, but that doesn't mean I have to vote for the budget. And I want more. I want more for North Carolina's kids. I want more for our economies. I want more for our families.
Yeah, it's a remarkable state of affairs. The last numbers I looked at showed that when you look at the investments we make in state and local government as a share of our economy, over the last decade, it's really just fallen off a cliff, fallen by roughly 30%, 25 to 30% in terms of what we spend of our economy on state and local government. And of course, a decade ago, we were still number one in the country for attracting new business. It's not as if those tax cuts and those spending cuts were necessary to attract business, but that seems to be the standard line as to why we head down this road, that put more money in people's pockets and that will somehow help the economy.
We do want more money in people's pockets. We have fundamental disagreements on how to get there. And you know, not giving people raises is a very clear way to not put money in their pockets. You're not giving them big enough raises. I think that the bigger challenge for us over the next decade will be, though, like, how do we fully fund functional government in a way that enables the private sector to do what it needs to do? If you don't have functioning government services, if you don't have, for instance, a division of environmental quality that can actually process permits to get people that want to build the ability to build, if you don't have a court system that allows you to settle disputes, including massive disputes about big money, then the private sector will crumble as well. You can't have the private without the public offering that creates the fair playing field. Everybody benefits from transportation, regulatory impacts that, you know, make things fair for everyone, and a court system.
We're talking with State Representative Greg Meyer of Caswell and Orange Counties about the General Assembly. One of the things that's happened here in recent days has been the passage of a spate of bills that have to do with voting. We have had a lot of debates in the aftermath of the 2020 election, despite the fact that Republicans did great in North Carolina and it was an enormously successful election, really no credible allegations of any widespread fraud. There's still this drumbeat that we've got to clamp down on voting rules to somehow bring more integrity to elections. And so we've had a new slate that would make it more difficult to cast absentee ballots. Talk to us about that. And I assume perhaps that the governor is going to veto these bills to the ones that make it to his desk.
I hope the governor will veto those bills. They may not even make it through the Senate. I mean, the House Republicans have a number of members who are about as far right wing as you can find in government. And they, you know, they reflect the right wing of the Republican Party and all of the conspiracy theorists and people who want to undermine our traditions of democracy because they don't like the fact that Donald Trump lost the presidency. We had, you know, over a dozen members of our legislature who signed this crazy letter calling on basically a national plan to throw out the vote and get Trump reinstalled president. Like, that's just insane. So I don't think that we should take their legislation credibly when they discredit themselves with things like that. So the, you know, the bills passed that would put some restrictions on access to voting passed through the House largely because I think the House has to cater to those right-wing members. The House Republican majority has to cater to those right-wing members a lot. And this is one of the top issues to them. I'd hope the Senate will, you know, see that it doesn't make any sense to move these. All it'll do is end up with the governor's veto, and there won't be a way to override those veto, not on these. I mean, there's no way they're going to get Democrats to vote for these anti-democracy proposals, not in this climate.
Well, that's at least one small hopeful sign.
A big hopeful sign, Rob, is like, look, even with the compromises that we saw on the budget and the governor working with the Republicans on the budget, the governor got some of his priorities in there, so that's good. But even bigger than that, I would say, is there's not been a single override of the governor's veto this year. And so there's a bunch of crazy stuff that's been proposed that has gotten to the veto stamp and not gotten any farther. And that's the one of the upsides that we're going to have to look for in trying to maintain a balanced legislature after these gerrymandered maps. We're not going to have a 50-50 legislature like the state's a 50-50 state, but we also shouldn't have a supermajority legislature where they can just run roughshod over the governor.
That's going to be a fascinating election in 2022 to see if Democrats can at least hold on to the ability to sustain gubernatorial vetoes. You've announced that you're running for the North Carolina Senate, and that will be, if when you are elected there, that'll be an interesting experience. We have a lieutenant governor who has presides there, who has been putting out some pretty extreme rhetoric on a lot of issues. Are you really sure you want to be in that body?
I mean, I've been in the legislature 8 years, and there's lots of good work that gets done in both chambers. But the biggest fights in North Carolina are the fights that happen in the North Carolina Senate. And the North Carolina Senate also does some of the best work across party lines to advance the things when we do find a way to make progress together. So at this stage in my career, I want to go do both of those things. I want to go find a place where we can work together. And I'm ready for the battles where they happen. And if that means taking on the lieutenant governor who is a bigot and someone who really just tries to fan the flames of divisiveness, I'll take him on.
My final question has to do with the fact the pandemic continues to rear its ugly head. We have new word of new variant spreading rapidly. And your district sort of highlights the challenges of people getting vaccinated. You've got Orange County, where you've got well over 3/4 of people have had at least a shot. And Caswell, it's a much more sobering story. Talk to us about the challenges of just getting more people vaccinated and boosted, you know, with this new variant on the horizon.
I appreciate you recognizing the way that these things play out across North Carolina, and I see it across my two very different counties. Orange County, of course, has great access to healthcare, and a lot of people who work in healthcare. Caswell County depends on smaller clinics and people who drive farther to get healthcare. So there's a little bit more of an obstacle, although the Caswell County Health Department and the Health Collaborative have done an amazing job of trying to roll out COVID supports for people who want to get them. But they run into the misinformation problem. And that's really where the vaccination rates stop. At this point, it's not really because of access. It's really because there are people who are falling for the misinformation campaigns and are not choosing to get the vaccines. We're going to have to figure out how to live with a population that has a significant number of people unvaccinated, because those people don't seem to be changing their minds anytime soon. I would encourage everybody who doesn't want those people to infect you to get your booster shot.
Yeah, I think that's what we'll all be doing here in the coming days and weeks, if we haven't done it already. Anybody who's really paying attention to this incredibly challenging issue. Representative Meyer, we thank you so much for your service. We're so lucky to have you in the state legislature and being a voice of reason on so many issues. We appreciate you being with us, and we wish you luck in the future and look forward to talking to you in 2022.
Good to talk to you again, Rob. Thank you.
Coming up next, we'll hear from State Health and Human Services Secretary Dr. Mandy Cohen about her plans to step down after nearly 5 challenging and productive years on the job. Don't go away.